on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Kick Around, The Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is The Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's two guys that still dream about having cool soccer hair. Andy Swift and Peter Welpton.
Marco Reus. Haaland stays on his feet. What a chance for Wolf! Bukoku! Haaland! He's a cheat code! 3-2!
Hi-de-ho, P1s, and welcome to today's Kick Around. As always, Saturdays 2 to 4 here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket, where you, the good P1, sits around, talks soccer, and all that implies. Plus, you can find us on our new website, thekickaround.com. Hey, how you doing? For those new here or unfamiliar, my name is Peter, and with me is now officially my soccer wife, the amazing Andy Swift.
Hey, Peter, and now we get to take our first trip together.
That's what makes you officially yes. My soccer wife.
This is going to be crazy.
Just a honeymoon then? Is that what you understand?
Yep. We're going to consummate it at Q2 Stadium.
Kick arounds will not be the same from this point forward.
No, it'll never be the same. We'll start to fall out of love and all that stuff.
A little bickering here and there.
Man, okay. It has been a really, really long and arduous week. Some insane things have happened in the world of soccer since we last spoke to you guys. And I'm not sure we have enough time or segments to do all of it, but we're going to do our damnedest. Mm. Because today we will have Tyler Kern returns to talk all things Bundesliga. Our good friend Buzz Carrick is going to call in and help give some insight into the big news of the week, at least in terms of the U.S. men's national team and our local MLS team, Ricardo Pepi's decision to forego Mexico and be a part of the upcoming U.S. qualifiers. And then Daniel Robertson will join us again to talk about Serie A and specifically about his experiences working alongside Cristiano Ronaldo.
Who?
And yes, we will talk about Ronaldo's return to Manchester United here in a little bit.
It's like the best 11 are starting today for our squad. We got the full team.
But you know what else we have? Something rare for our show. We have goodies to give away.
Get out!
The Kick Around is giving away Kick Around t-shirts. The guys at E6 Sports have put together some new designs for us. They're on our website, thekickaround.com, and you can click the button and you can go buy them. They're on sale for like $13.10 for the next week. But here's what's super cool. We're going to give away 11 of these shirts in honor of Burnley, Josh.
Because
the 11 shirts will be numbered 1 through 11. And so we'll start doing that here soon.
Because
Burnley
was the first team to like in whatever 20 years.
Oh, longer than
longer than that.
Yeah,
to field the team, a starting lineup with numbers 1 through 11, the proper way, Pete.
Positionally correct. So here in a little bit, probably the next segment, we'll start giving those away. We'll have you call in and give Sam your info in the first 11. We'll figure it out, but we'll give those away today. Thank you to the guys from E6 Sports for helping us out. The new shirts are very, very cool.
Show host excluded from being able to win, I'm assuming.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay. Right. We'll have special staff shirt versions made up for us.
Will they say staff in the back?
All right, so we'll start doing that here in just a little bit. But we do need to get into the action of the day. We will start around the Premier League and the biggest of the games, the game we were all excited to watch that just ended not too long ago, Liverpool hosting Chelsea. And it ends up at hockey sticks. Mm. But there was drama. Delicious soccer drama in this one. Andy, you have to feel good. Or are you upset about this result?
Yeah, the 1-1 draw against
Chelsea. In-house Liverpool fan.
Yeah, so heading into the game, a little nervous because you and I both picked Chelsea to win this year, and I feel Chelsea is a better team. But Liverpool's playing at home, and so I thought, you know, a draw would be an okay result for Liverpool at this stage when they're still starting to get their guys back and playing together after all the injury problems last year. And then they go down 1-0. And then they're able to tie it, right? With, and we'll talk about how they tied it.
Mm-hmm.
But then that led to them being able to play a man up for a whole half. And so it is disappointing with that context to end up 1-1.
Without question, Chelsea and Tuchel have to feel much better about this result than Klopp and Liverpool do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two sides to this coin, which is I'm going to fall in favor of this one, which is, holy cow, are Chelsea properly organized and well coached or what? Because that was a masterclass in playing a man down for 45 minutes in the second half.
It was. And, you know, Liverpool did have a few opportunities, and they should have scored the second goal. But really, credit to Chelsea for making it very difficult for mm-hmm. Liverpool in the final, not even the final third, just the final touch to get a clear shot on goal.
All right. So as the in-house Liverpool fan, I'm going to ask you the question. Are you at all concerned about your team's kind of overall level of performance over these first set of games?
No, and you asked me this last week, and I wasn't, because all the pundits were saying what a horrible start Liverpool's gotten off to.
Well, I don't think people are saying horrible. I think they're just like, hey, they don't look like the same old Liverpool.
The same old record-setting Liverpool squad that won. That's almost impossible to replicate. They're still among the better teams in EPL. I still feel like they're top four. I don't think I've seen anything to dissuade me from feeling like they're going to be a top four finisher. Are some of the players off to like Robertson today, his first start? He looked rusty.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first start. Henderson didn't look sharp. Matic in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good, especially the first half. But, you know, Salah, Mane, their touch is a little off. Those are things that kind of come, right? I mean, it's not like they're going to be like this the whole season. I mean, the quality is there. These are quality players.
Yeah.
They're just not sharp.
There's
the preseason was shorter. You know, there's so many reasons that can lead to something like that.
Okay.
And who's sharp at this point? Chelsea's looking good, and City.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm asking the question, because as a neutral, to me, the story of the game and everybody talking about Chelsea's organization and playing so well defensively in the second 45, I think is somewhat not paying enough attention to the fact that Liverpool is still trying to find their form as a team. If you had told me before the game that Liverpool would play the entire second half a man advantage, even against Chelsea, and barely create any opportunities over the course of that 45 minutes, I would not have believed. Like, I would have thought, and I think most people thought, going into the second half, Liverpool would figure out a way to win that game 2-1, 3-1.
Sure, yeah. And when the minute it happened, the red card was given, I thought the same. You know, you just think that your team is going to be able to do it. I wouldn't say they barely had any opportunities to score. I don't remember any possession.
Because I don't recall any really clear chances.
A couple shots on goal that were saved well, and some opportunities that were the final touch, the final trap,
mm-hmm.
just wasn't there. I mean, that sharpness, that's not being able to create
so that
to get to that spot.
That lack of sharpness, it doesn't concern you
no,
as a fan.
No, because that will come.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So let's talk about the now highly controversial red card. Reece James, there's a corner kick for Liverpool. Not on the cop end, the other end. The ball kind of bangs around. It gets somebody doesn't clear it very well for Chelsea. And I don't know which Liverpool player it is that gets a chance to take a shot at it. Maybe it was Matip. I can't remember.
I think it was Matip.
Yeah. And the ball kind of gets banged in, and it comes off of Reece James's leg, kind of up onto his torso, and then onto his arm, and the ball is cleared, and when I saw it in real time, even from the long angle camera, I yelled at the TV, "That's a PK and a red
mm-hmm.
card."
Mm-hmm.
And that was my instant
move on, then.
That was my instant reaction to it.
Sure, yes.
Now there's a ton of people complaining about how Anthony Taylor arrived at the decision to give the red card.
Right, because he didn't initially call it. He let play
go. Well, he couldn't see it. There was no way anybody could see it.
Right. And I think some people are mad because when VAR told him to go look at it, he went and looked at it like at a frozen frame, right?
Yep.
And then right away decided it was a PK and red card. Now, if he's going to issue the...
If
he's going to call the foul, he has to, for that reason, he has to give the red card. So those are going to go together, right? You can't say a penalty for that reason and not give a red card.
No. And I had friends texting me asking me why that was a red card. And the answer is because he prevented the ball going in the net with his arm.
Right. So those go together. So now we go, like, does he call it or not? And some people are upset that it was one freeze frame to see it. But remember, VAR's looking at it.
Right.
They're talking to him. They might have determined something. He might have seen already the movement and was just unsure whether it hit the arm or not and had already decided, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
There are a lot of people that are talking about intent. And based on my current understanding of the most current version of the handball law, I do not believe that intent comes into play when a ball is headed into the goal and your arm is extended enough to be considered to be a handball. In that situation, it's not one or the other, it's both. It has to be both.
Right, but didn't he bring the elbow out purposefully?
Oh, well,
right?
I don't know. I can't read his mind. I don't think that's the point. I think the question is, the point everybody should understand is, again, based on how I think the rule currently is interpreted, if you are called for preventing a ball going in the goal with your arm or hand, not only is it a penalty kick, but it is also a red card ejection.
Right.
Because the only time yellow cards are given in those situations is when you're trying to tackle a ball away from somebody and you're deemed to have given it a good shot.
Right. That's the double jeopardy question that I had. But, you know, you cleared that up for me that the handball is different. But once you call that a penalty, once you call that a foul, the red card has to go with it.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you can't argue the red card.
Nope. So it does end up being a draw, but it was an exciting and fun game to watch. And it's awesome to see those crowds again at.
What do you think of Lukaku, by the way? Speaking of Chelsea and how he's fitting in, because you were anti Lukaku.
I did not get to see him play a lot at Inter Milan. I just remember the Lukaku that I saw repeatedly while he was playing for United, and maybe there's a bunch of ancillary stuff and truth to the idea that he didn't feel loved. He looks like a total beast for Chelsea.
He makes them better. There's no doubt. I still stick that they're gonna win.
Yeah,
stick by
I do believe there's still too much figuring each other out. There's still too much of
there was a lot
players.
Of that today.
I didn't even say
figuring each other out is what.
What I'm saying, yeah, but I'm specifically saying there's still way too much of players looking at each other, going, "Why didn't you pass me that ball? Play it to my feet." Like that type of chemistry hasn't been formed
with
yet.
Him specifically.
Yes,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There was a lot of that today, but that'll come.
But that will absolutely come, and I don't think Chelsea fans. I think getting a draw on the road at Anfield. Probably works out. It certainly works out for people like me who are not fans of either team. The other game today, and the one that probably comes and arrives with its own set of drama, is Man City's absolute thrashing of Arsenal.
Can you imagine if you're an Arsenal supporter and you live in California and you get up at 4:30 in the morning?
Oh no!
To watch that,
man. So if you have not heard what happened, Man City ends up winning 5-0. Granit Xhaka does the most Xhaka thing ever, and 35 minutes into the game goes flying into a two-footed tackle. And he didn't really get the guy, but it was such a dangerous tackle. The second foot caught him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Yeah. But again, it's a red card. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it wasn't like he went in and hit a guy on the knee.
Soft red.
Or, cleated him in the face.
Sure. But he put himself in a situation.
But the fact that the most veteran player, the captain guy on this team, as fragile as it is, makes that mental decision. And that was the other thing they brought up. The number of red cards this team has had since Arteta has taken over.
10. Six is the number two team.
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah. And he's gotten 12 in the Premier League.
Oh, Xhaka, I've never understood anybody's attraction to him. For Arsenal, I never have gotten that.
So let's talk about the start of the game and how Arsenal came out. Because and so did you feel like they came out a little bit on fire,
yes.
pressing high,
yes.
more than we've seen them press?
I was watching the first 10 minutes of that game going, this is going to be a really good game. Arsenal is in it. Like, Arteta has figured right. out. Now, I was surprised Arteta decided to go with essentially two attacking mids and Xhaka as the single holding mid. And I think that's where Arteta's really going to get criticized, mm-hmm. is that tactical decision.
He's going to get criticized in a lot of ways.
Well, right. But, you know, to get the let the game start off that way, because when City was able to get on the ball and counter, they really went through Arsenal way too easy, long before the red card.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. They countered that high press by just pushing Ederson up to almost be a center back when they were coming out of the back. His fullbacks were behind him. Did you see it? And Arsenal was forced to spread, and they didn't. And that's how City just came right down their throat.
Do you think... sorry, you distracted me with that comment. Do you think Arteta gets the S-can this week?
I have some... Can I give you just some quick facts?
Please. I love quick
Emery
facts.
Emery was 4-6-3 when he was fired after a fifth-place season. So at that point in the year, mm-hmm. they had won 4, drawn 6, and lost only 3 when he was fired. Emery is now, Arteta is now off to an 0-3 start, and they're in last.
They're dead last. They have,
right.
have not
so
scored a goal.
So this is a much worse start. And Emery was coming off a fifth-place season. He's coming off an eighth-place season. The only thing is, he's got an extra year in the contract. They give him 3. They had given Emery 2.
Yeah, they lost to Chelsea. All 3 of those losses, by the way, are very oddly different in different ways. Like, they just got bossed by Brentford, who were way up for the game. Chelsea's just a better team, and this one here is the stupid red card that just kind of melted them against City.
Wenger's last 2 seasons, 63% winning percentage. Emery, in his season and a half, 62. Arteta, less than 55. I mean, he's the worst of the 3, even worse than Wenger.
Yeah, he looks extra dead inside today, too, by the way.
They play Norwich next, and then Burnley on the road. Those are the 2 games. If they don't get, like, 4 points out of that.
Yeah. Here's my hot sports opinion. I don't think Arsenal is as morbidly bad as we've seen so far, and I don't think City is as brilliantly good as their record shows to this point.
But the issue for Arteta is the body of work now.
Oh, sure.
We've seen...
I know.
Plenty
now. I agree. So City 5, Arsenal 0. They sit at the bottom of the table. Their goal differential is -9. They have yet to score a goal.
It's the worst start in their history, I think.
It's quite bad for our Gunner friends, and we're praying for you. All right, when we come back, we will address the giant thing that happened out of the blue. Nobody expected it. The return of Ronaldo next here on The Kick Around.
If you've ever tried to buy a jersey for your favorite soccer club, especially one overseas, you've probably found out it's not as easy as you think it would be. But thank God for Soccer90.com, both the website and the actual physical brick-and-mortar store, which you should go check out up in Frisco. It's right next door to the Hall of Fame on Main Street. And you should totally do that because it's pretty awesome. And both inside there and on the website, you'll find a massive selection of jerseys and gear from clubs all over the world. Chelsea, Liverpool, Chivas, etc. And because we're talking about Serie A in this episode, they also have a wide selection of clubs from Italy, including customized Weston McKennie and Ronaldo Juventus jerseys. And if you're one of those who loves to be proud of Dallas soccer history, they do have the Great Dallas Tornado t-shirt, which is exclusively available at soccer90.com. And because you're a sweet, clean Kickaround P1, you get 25% off when you use the promo code KICKAROUND at checkout at soccer90.com.
Welcome back to the Kickaround. We don't get to do this often. But today, we are giving away Kick-Around t-shirts. So the way this is going to work, we were gifted by the good people at E6 Sports 11 of our new t-shirts, which are just plain t-shirts. Actually, you can buy them either in cotton t-shirts or the wicking material with just the logo and the word mark across the front. But we're going to make these special t-shirts. They will be the navy cotton t-shirt. And they will be numbered 1 through 11. So call now, 800-787-1310. The first 3 people will get shirts 1, 2, and 3. Sam will answer. And then we'll go through the show and give away the rest of the shirts. They're pretty cool. And if you want to buy one, if you don't win one and you want one, they're like $13.10. And you can go see them on our website, thekickaround.com. All right. We were talking about the Arsenal-Chelsea draw and the drama behind the red card and the VAR decision. We were talking about City blowing out Arsenal and whether or not Arteta is officially dead inside. Probably. But the biggest news of the week happened yesterday like a bolt of lightning, which is the news that Manchester United have not signed the holding mid that I've been hoping for.
Maybe
for
he
all
will play holding
summer.
Mid.
Shut up. It is the return of Cristiano Ronaldo to Old Trafford.
So my question to you before we analyze this as pundits is to ask you as a Man United supporter. You are,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
And I've made fun of you through the years for, like, Ronaldo's your favorite player. But I don't know. I think you had mixed feelings towards Ronaldo and his persona and
yeah.
how he goes about. I mean, he's professional in many ways, but he's also got his thing about him, right? You know, that makes
yeah,
him very
Ronaldo.
Yeah, he's
got a massive ego.
Yeah. You're feeling good about the move, are you?
I mean, he's
a very good player.
I have been super wishy-washy about
okay.
this. So the trajectory of that goes something like this. When it started coming out that now suddenly United was in for snatching him away from Manchester City, I thought, well, this is just stupid. Like, he's 36. Really? And it's not even a position of need. The position the team needs is a holding mid and probably a right back. But that's the position of need. So far, the window's gone really well. Sancho, Varane have been fantastic additions, yeah. but the team is not complete. You have Edison Cavani that you just you talked into signing an extra year deal.
Yeah, one more year, right? Yeah, okay.
You're really trying to grow Mason Greenwood as that center forward in that position, who, by the way, looks like he's money in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Money Graham.
And so when I saw this happening and it became very apparent it was going to happen, I was kind of meh about the whole thing. But what I'll tell you, and by the way, I should say this up front, I'm setting aside for this time being the allegations, the sexual assault rape allegations that took place in Las yeah. Vegas back in 2009. I'm going to set those. We'll yeah. address them here in a second.
Okay.
I'm just setting them aside for this part, which is yesterday, for the first time that I can remember, probably since the treble winning year of 1999, maybe one of the years after that where they won the premiership or European title. I have never seen the Manchester United fan base so unanimously ecstatic and gleeful over this signing. They are, because here's the deal. This is why it's so weird to me. Because in my perception, Ronaldo is a reflection of a time so long ago that it's, well, here's, the, like, let's put it this way. If you think about the different iterations of this team, since he's been here, it's not like just one version. There was the Mourinho version.
Yeah.
There was the Van Gaal version. There was the Moyes version.
And not any of them particularly great, right?
Right. And he's even prior to the last iteration of this team when Sir Alex was still manager.
Yeah.
He's like five iterations of this team ago,
right?
If not six.
Yeah, but since then, he's turned into one
the greatest
of the,
player in the world.
Yeah.
1A, 1B with Messi.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, of our generation.
He
right.
scored 29 goals in 31
yeah,
games last
season. He's
still
banging goals at his age. And the way Ronaldo works out, and the way he goes about preparing, he's actually 3 or 4 years younger than he is, like physically, you know, like how he performs.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, he's just a freak of nature in that regard. Does he make Man United better? He does.
Well,
yes, he does.
I don't hear. So this is when I talk about how I've been wishy-washy about this. I went from being meh to seeing everybody getting super excited to kind of feeling excited myself. I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I start thinking about it and reading other people's opinions who I trust and respect. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, here's the deal. You can make the – because I initially said, it's hard for me to make an argument that you add Ronaldo to any team and make them worse. And then many people went, he totally made Juventus worse. And there's a lot of really good arguments that Ronaldo, his lack of defensive work –
But it's not terrible. It's not terrible. That's not why he
made
the Juventus.
He's one of the worst pressing forwards in the top five leagues in Europe last year.
I think I saw some stats compared to others in that position, and he wasn't the worst.
So
he's average.
Then there's some other complications. who does his time come at the expense of?
I think that's the bigger issue, is future development for guys like Greenwood, right?
Yeah, or Edison Cavani. Like, is Cavani, like, what's Cavani's situation?
Yeah, you know.
And by the way, is Ronaldo giving him his shirt? Because he has Ronaldo's number. So I here's where I'm here. So at the end of the day, you asked me a very easy question that I've way overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. My answer is, yes, I'm excited, but I also am doing it with the full understanding that this is probably not going to end up being the storybook ending, winning the Premier League with Ronaldo thing that we all hope that it turns into.
Okay, so there's two things that I want to talk about related to that. One is, real quick, if I had to re-predict the order of finish, and we had the exact same 1, 2, 3, 4, it was Chelsea, City, United, Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
We both predicted that. I wouldn't change it. I don't think
United
is going to drop now below Liverpool because they got Ronaldo, and I still think Chelsea and City are better overall squads.
I agree. Now, if in the next 3 days the Glazers completely blow us all out of the water and go get Basuma from Brighton or Declan Rice or one of the many, mm-hmm. Saul from Atletico or any of the number of other holding mids that they've been considering, mm-hmm. now I would want to change my prediction. I do think Ronaldo will score goals. I just don't think he's going to be transformative, and I do think he may cause some other problems.
But you don't think he brings a certain sense of, like, one thing about him is he's very professional, how he approaches training and how he, you're looking at me like with weird eyes, but you get that from teammates that don't even like him, that they say that about
that's
him.
That's true.
Like, at least he brings that. So I'm just wondering if you are right and you got all these complications that he brings with him, why did so many important people affiliated with the club go push Woodward to do this?
The answer is that in the hours where it was being thought that he was going to City, there was a significant backlash both at Ronaldo and the Glazers for letting this happen. Like, the idea that your club legend would now go across the street to a rival was going to change the attitude of the fan base. And there's even people that said it would have changed the attitude in the locker room that the Glazers and the leadership let this happen.
Right.
And that the proper thing to do is bring the club legend back to the club.
So why was Woodward asleep then? Why didn't he recognize this?
Well, Woodward's not there anymore.
Who's
I don't even know the name of the guy that's running it. Remember, Woodward left.
That's right, he left. Yes. So you're right. So I'm thinking all along Woodward's asleep.
No. So, you know, Ronaldo's departure from Juventus happened very quickly. Like, he went to Allegri and said, I don't want to be here anymore. And so Ronaldo's agent, like, there's two versions of this story. One is the agent used City to get United to wake up. And the other version of the story is they called City and City looked at each other and went, you want to watch Manchester United jump? They make an offer of interest.
Yeah.
And suddenly United catches wind of this. Solskjaer says, hey, he knows where we are, and the conversations happen, and City are all sitting at their place laughing about how they got United to spend $20 million in transfer fee and another $30 million in salary or whatever.
But City would have taken him.
For free. They wanted him on a free.
Yeah, but I think they were eventually going to pay.
He's a worse fit at City than he is at United.
I agree. And we don't even have time to get into how there are basically four clubs in the world now that could have afforded him his salary. It's not even the transfer fee. Mm-hmm. And how, really, if you look at this transfer window, it's been nuts. Because we've had Messi and Ronaldo move, and Mbappe's going to probably move.
Yeah.
And it's only like four or five teams in play. Like, teams that used to be able to be part of this, like Juventus and Barcelona and even, like, Bayern, they're no longer involved.
Yeah, we could spend an entire segment just talking about the Real Madrid offer for Mbappe, because it makes no sense. It's like they can get him on a free.
Yeah, they're going to rent him for a year by basically.
For a record amount. Yeah. Like, none of that makes any sense.
But it's really four teams can spend money now. City, United, PSG, Real Madrid.
But here's the other part of that story that makes no sense, that PSG won't accept the deal. Like, it's like some sort of matter of principle for a nation state.
Why are they turning down $180
million? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
also crazy.
That's equally as crazy.
Yes,
the
right.
idea of offering the money is crazy. The idea that you would not accept that amount of money is equally as crazy. Like, I don't get it. And that's why so much of our sport is broken in so many ways. Now, let me say this because I said I would bring it up. I am fully aware of the accusations against Ronaldo. And in fact, somebody was sending me some stuff. I had forgotten about the Der Spiegel article where they had gotten the WikiLeaks equivalent of some documents of the lawsuit against him from the woman in Las Vegas, where he essentially admits in this deposition that he raped her. But then there's also a series of articles that happen after the fact where Ronaldo's people say those documents are faked. None of that actually happened. And after months and months of investigation, the Las Vegas police decided to do what is generally the easiest thing for a police department to do, which is just file charges. And they chose not to do that. Now, why? I don't know. But here's my question. After all this time, and specifically in our current climate and culture, the idea that a city or a United or a Juventus or any number of clubs that would be willing to have him in there, and then all of the giant retail brands mm-hmm. and commercial brands that are willing to put their name with him, just gives me a reason to pause that there must be something else to this, because nobody in that level of power and value would do anything like that to risk all of it for Ronaldo.
If they didn't think it was semi-okay,
maybe there's another side of the story we've just never been told.
Right. Now, can he travel to the U.S. as it stands now?
He can travel to the United States, but my understanding is what he's afraid of is that he will be then handed a summons in a civil lawsuit.
Yeah.
That he would then be responsible for.
So does it mean United
there,
doesn't play?
There are no criminal charges that I'm aware of. Now, maybe I'm wrong and somebody may send me something that I'm missing out on. Again, I had kind of lost track of the whole story and forgotten about it. But my understanding is that there were no charges ever pressed after a long investigation. I think she wants to sue him civilly, but because he doesn't live here and he's not here, that process can't happen or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, again, I guess everybody can read all the stuff and make up their own mind. But that's the only way I can feel like I can address it. I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm just saying I don't know.
Right.
And I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah. And he hasn't been dropped by a terrible amount of corporate sponsors.
It was more than 10 years ago. It was in 2009.
Yeah.
So who knows? So there you go. Ronaldo returns to United. He apparently will make his debut against Newcastle on September the 11th. When we get back, we will address the rest of the day's action, including Mr. Vardy continues to score next on the Kick Around. Welcome back to the Kick Around. Congratulations to Jeff, Hector, and Eric, good P1s, who in respective order won Kick Around t-shirts numbered 1, 2, and 3. So here we go. We're going to give away shirts number 4 and 5 now. Call 888-787-1310. And the first two people, somebody will get Kick Around shirt number 4, and somebody will then get Kick Around shirt number 5, and we'll do 6 through 11 through the remainder of the show. Go, you win. Something like that. All right. Welcome back to the show. We're going to be talking Bundesliga and Serie A and even some U.S. men's national team in the second hour, but we have to go through the rest of the Premier League today. We're back to the thing that we all love, which is the 9 a.m. block of games. Now, what we don't love is that it's broken up between broadcast and streaming. And I wish Peacock would have the foresight to have a single channel on streaming where you can, like, picture in picture, have all the games in one thing, or some sort of red zone-like thing where they jump from game to game.
Yeah, it's very difficult to switch from Peacock to regular TV games.
Yeah, you almost have to have two devices, one that's streaming and one that's just on your, however you're getting NBCSN or CNBC or whatever they're showing games on. So today, lots of action took place. I think we were both interested in watching Aston Villa host Brentford, and I have a feeling...
Hashtag we are all Brentford, right?
We all are bees. Maybe the bees are going to be a bigger problem for the rest of the Premier League, at least in a little bit of an annoying way. I'm not saying they'll end up being in the top half of the table by the end of the season.
They are there now.
They are now. By the way, they're 1 win, 2 draws. They've won their they've won their home game, and they've drawn their 2 road games.
Isn't that soccer result getting 101, right?
They got it down.
Yes.
So Brentford do get the result at Aston Villa today. Ivan Tony finally scores for the Bees in the seventh minute, but Buendia for Aston Villa. They get him from Norwich, and he is good as advertised. They spent their Grealish money pretty well, I think. By the way, don't forget that Ollie Watkins is a player they bought from Brentford two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. So he's playing his old team.
Yeah, and not only that, Ings also created the play that led to the goal.
Right.
That's another player.
That's another player they spent the money on. Yeah. I have no doubt that Aston Villa is going to be fine. I do think they're probably disappointed in their start, but they're putting all these pieces together and making it work. But I am very impressed with Brentford so far. And I think that's just one to keep an eye on as we go forward. Now, the other big game of the day is look who's at the top of the table. Jeff Catman of the America's Catlins, West Ham United, remain top of the table. They got there last week after their big win on Monday night where Antonio scores and does that whole crazy thing with the cutout of him along the sidelines, which, by the way, turned out to be staged. I was disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Did he fess up?
No, the NBC cameras caught him with somebody else putting it behind the goal. So he knew if he scored, he'd know where to go fetch it. Because, he was in line to break a West Ham record.
Right, yeah. It was
and so he wanted to be able to do that for when he broke the record.
Okay.
So West Ham again. Now, this is the result today, hosting Crystal Palace, who have largely been pretty crappy this season. You think you first off, you see that first goal that West Ham scored. Have you seen that goal?
Yes.
It's fantastic interplay. Antonio gets an assist, and then Antonio scores another goal.
He's playing well. He's playing really well at the start of the season.
But Mr. Gallagher, the blonde-haired guy from Crystal Palace, bags two, and somehow Palace leaves. The vaunted Olympic Stadium with
now, a point. I didn't watch the game. Was that like a game that United really had in the pocket and controlled possession? And how did it unfold?
I have not seen the whole thing, but it does appear that that is a game they are going to regret giving up the points.
Well,
here's the thing. We all talk about how they have the Europa League to deal with this year and how that's going to weight them down. And at the end of the season, when they're coming up a few points short of something, they'll look back at the early home game against Crystal Palace where they allowed Palace to leave with a draw, and they're going to think, man, we really screwed that up. Jamie Vardy is still – look, leave Jamie Vardy unmarked at your peril.
The first goal, right? That they scored. How do you do that if you're defending Leicester in that?
Did you see Norwich – defend against City last week?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But you had literally four guys in the box and Vardy, and he is where they're not. Or they're not where he is. Probably better said.
Yeah, Leicester's going to be an interesting story the entire season with all the stuff they've got going on. Vardy is going to score those goals. But the other thing I'm thinking about Leicester is this is now, I think, the second week in a row was Soyuncu, the great Turkish center back that has been so good for them, has made a pretty critical error that has cost them a goal. And he did it today. He gave up the penalty kick on a should have never gone to the ground and gave up the penalty kick for that. And he did something last week. I can't remember what it was. The back pass. Mm-hmm. The back pass, that's what it was.
Ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah, and then don't forget, if you didn't see it, VAR did take away a goal for Norwich that would have tied the game. But there was somebody slightly offside impeding the keeper. It was really close.
I thought they were going to do away with those.
Well, I think he was both offside and impeding the keeper. Okay. I think it was kind of a combination of things.
All right.
You know, Norwich is one that I think we all thought would make it. I think we both predicted they would not get relegated.
Yeah.
They've got a negative nine goal differential. They're only better than Arsenal because they've scored one
goal
this
season.
They're
so bad. They're right down there with Arsenal. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yep. Newcastle and Southampton was an interesting game as Newcastle thought they had won it in the 90th minute with a Saint-Maximin goal, only to give up the penalty kick in added time, and James Ward-Prowse bagged it. And Southampton leave Newcastle with the point themselves 2-2.
Two goals after the 90th.
That's crazy. Yeah. Man, that's nuts. And young producer Sam's Everton, look out, Damari Gray, $2 million. That's a good buy. They surprise, at least for me, because I think Brighton is better than this. I'm not saying they're better than Everton, but to lose at home to Everton, 2-0.
The disgrace.
Yes.
What a disgrace.
Now, Sam, what was the whole brouhaha about the penalty kick?
So this was really strange. So Coleman goes down in the box to draw the penalty, and Calvert-Lewin is the penalty taker. It's been well established. But before he can get over there, Richarlison goes over and like stands over the ball like, I'm taking it. And Calvert-Lewin starts going, what are you doing? Richarlison picks up the ball and like walks a few steps away from it to the point where Gray, Townsend, and then eventually Coleman have to be like, hey, man, give the ball up. Like, he's literally carrying it like a kid.
So
it's the damnedest thing.
And the point is, Richarlison was not the one fouled. Because very
no,
often,
he was not.
If you
no.
foul, you get to take the kick.
Has he not scored yet this season?
No, he has.
No, he's
right?
not.
He
no.
hasn't scored.
That's what it is. He wants to get his first goal of the season so bad.
He's a little hot right now.
He wants to break the dam.
That looked bad.
Yeah,
did
that
he celebrate? I didn't see the celebration after.
He's normally very upfront in the celebration, but this time he was like five guys back. You could tell he was heated. It was a really awkward moment that required the captain, who was kind of hurt.
That's bad juju.
Bad juju. All right, tomorrow we do have three games. There are two at 8 o'clock. Burnley is hosting Leeds at 8 a.m. That should be an interesting one. Now, the thing I will point out about the Burnley-Leeds game is that Burnley have won three of their last four home games against Leeds. So I think people are going to assume that Leeds is going to win this game.
This goes back to championship then, right? I
mean, yes.
I'm assuming. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that will be
Burnley's
one at 8
got
o'clock.
Their number, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's at 8 o'clock on NBCSN. And then Tottenham hosting Watford, also at 8 a.m. on Peacock. We'll get to continue to see how all of the Harry Kane stuff plays out. Does he start tomorrow? How does all that go?
He starts. He's part of the team. It's no looking back.
Because we haven't talked about the fact that this is also the week where it officially was announced by Harry Kane and his brother, the agent, that he had decided he's going to stay after all at Tottenham. Like I told you he was going to.
Yep.
So, are they happy? Can they make it work? So that's at 8 a.m. And then the game at 10:30 is Wolves hosting Manchester United.
What are you going to do, Peter? We have a road trip.
We're going to have to wait to leave to go to Austin until after the completion of this game. I will come pick you up shortly after 12:30, hopefully with 3 points in my pocket.
Oh, boy, you're going to be such a grump if Wolves pull this out.
Well, only if you're a jerk about it.
We'll see.
If you're not condescending and a typical Liverpool,
I might just want to watch the replay
troll.
In the car.
So you're going to be angry is what you're saying. Peter.
Yes, I'm going to be angry. What we don't know is, will we see the starts of Sancho and Varane tomorrow? Especially after the starting lineup last week was very disappointing in their draw, where they look so different from their first week win. Manchester United, very disappointing. And now that McTominay, by the way, has had groin surgery, he's kind of stuck with the Modric-Fred combination if he wants to play the dual,
so it's not my
dual
Fred,
pivot
it's,
sixes.
It's Fredic.
It's, Fredic, yeah.
Ronaldo, by the way, not even going to Manchester, straight to national team.
They're
right?
saying Newcastle on the 11th will be his first time he's available. So we'll see what happens. There's lots going on.
By the
on.
Way, you know who else won with this Ronaldo going to Premier League? It's NBC.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, NBC's got to be so
NBC.
Excited about that. Yeah, so those are all the games tomorrow. That wraps up our Premier League review of the day. And congratulations to whoever. We're going to give away more shirts here in just a little bit. And we will visit with the good Tyler Kern to discuss the Bundesliga next on the Kick Around. Welcome back to the Kick Around. Congratulations to Colin and Scott, respectively number 4 and 5, and our big Kick Around t-shirt 1 through 11 giveaway. So the next two people that call 888-787-1310 will get shirts number 6 and 7. And by the way, if you get one of these shirts, we are requesting that you take a photo and send it back to us so that we can share our starting 11 in your shirts. By the time you get them from our good friends at E6 Sports. And if you don't win one, you can buy them. We have them for sale over on our website, thekickaround.com. All right, now time to move on to the Bundesliga with our good friend Tyler Kern. Hello, Tyler.
Hello, boys.
It's
Let's
like
talk Bundesliga.
A godly voice via the interweb.
The beauty of the interweb.
Happy birthday, by the way, Tyler.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you know
appreciate
it was Tyler's birthday this week?
I did
week?
Not. Thanks for letting us know.
He turned 19.
Did you one post that all over playing, social media? Yeah,
1 year closer to playing in the over 50 leagues with you guys.
Oh, you're so far away.
So far away. We will be on Medicare by the time.
And when we do play with you, it's so apparent you're so far away. You run circles around us.
All right, now Tyler is joining us on a regular basis because he is our buddy that follows the Bundesliga. And with all the young American players playing in the Bundesliga, we thought we needed to add that content to the show. So, Tyler, this is your first opportunity to do so since you were out last week. Why don't you fill us in on what's going on in Der Bundesliga?
Der Bundesliga. So one of the biggest things from this week is that Borussia Dortmund played yesterday, beat Hoffenheim 3-2. But notably, as we talk about young Americans, Gio Reyna became the youngest player in Bundesliga history to reach 50 appearances. He also scored a really, really nice goal that if you haven't seen it, it should make you excited to be a U.S. men's national team fan, if in fact you are. So
left foot, right foot?
Right foot inside the box. I mean, just a really, really nice clean finish through a couple of defenders. Really, really solid from him. He's playing in a little bit different spot this year.
I was going to ask,
playing more as a number eight.
Yeah, he looks like he's playing more centrally than they've been playing him normally.
Yeah, he had played previously out on the wing under previous wingers or managers Lucien Favre and his interim manager last year. But this year Marco Rose is kind of playing a little bit more of a diamond midfield, so he's one of those dual eights in the middle with Marco Royce ahead of him, as well as, you know, guys like Erling Haaland and others. And so he's playing a lot more central, which I find really intriguing as a U.S. men's national team fan. If you could pair him up in a midfield with a Weston McKennie and then have a Tyler Adams at the six, that is that's some attacking vigor right there in your midfield.
Yeah, I just want everybody to take a minute to realize that Tyler just said that there's an American youngster playing dual eights with Marco Royce for Dortmund. That's pretty hard to believe that we're in this kind of age of the national team.
And it's not one of those situations where it's like, it's an 18-year-old, but you can tell he's 18. He's making mistakes. Physically, he's big enough. He's well-built and looks like he belongs on the field. But then he's scoring goals. He's bagging assists. He looks like he belongs with those kinds of guys who have been on the cover of, you know, FIFA and that sort of thing. He plays like a guy that belongs on that team. And he starts for them game in, game out, and had another nice game. The other thing for Dortmund, though, that's worth pointing out is that defense is atrocious. So they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch because they have to win games 3-2 because they're starting guys like Emre Can at center back, which is not
what?
A great place to be. Yes, and he even got hurt before the game started, so they had to pull him out of the starting lineup. And so their center back situation, their back line in general is just an absolute disaster. And so they basically need Erling Haaland and Gio Reyna and Marco Royce and all these guys to go out and score goals because they're not really capable of slowing anyone down.
You know, you've done some bad roster work when your only option at center back is a guy that I would never, ever imagine playing center back. Like,
no,
don't you
no,
have,
I'm
like,
sure.
A youth player that can play center back who's got to be better than Emre Can?
Hey, careful with the Liverpool great.
But Liverpool great as a defensive midfielder, Andy.
Yes, yeah, Andy.
No, and Liverpool great, I said tongue-in-cheek.
Well, so over the last couple of years, they brought in guys like Manuel Akanji, who hasn't quite developed as a center back maybe the way that they would hope. They brought back an aging Mats Hummels, who played at Dortmund, went and won a bunch of titles at Bayern Munich, and then came back to Dortmund, but kind of came back after his prime, right? And so you've got a bunch of guys that you're just trying to kind of makeshift and throw together a back line with a team that wants to push six guys into the box on a regular basis. And so you've kind of hung four guys out to dry along your back line who are guys that should never be hung out to dry in the first place.
So you're saying Dortmund is not going to challenge Bayern for the title?
Dortmund's not going to challenge Bayern for a title, but you're not going to see too many nil-nil draws out of Dortmund games this season. So if you're looking for just like a, you know, a league pass team, your ESPN Plus team to just watch because their games are going to be wild, go with Borussia Dortmund.
All right, now I see that they played Hoffenheim, and I see that Bayern beat Hertha like a jillion to nothing, and that makes me wonder, what's the story on Chris Richards? Is he still with Bayern and they're waiting and Hoffenheim wants him, or what's the story there?
Yeah, so Hoffenheim won him, and Bayern, they've said if we're going to sell him or give them back to Hoffenheim, we don't want to do a loan, we want to do a purchase. You know, we want to do a full-on transfer, and if we do this, we want it to be $10 million. And Hoffenheim have kind of balked at that a little bit, saying, no, we do a loan, but maybe not. And it's important to remember that, that Bayern would also owe FC Dallas money in that case. So Bayern, in the end, don't end up pocketing that much money from a deal because FC Dallas retained a sell-on fee on Chris Richards. And so right now, anyways, and this is the quote that came out earlier this week, Julian Nagelsmann said, I'm looking more and more like I'm going to hold on to Chris Richards, but don't nail me to the wall on that. Okay. Is essentially his quotes. And he said, don't nail me down on that. So maybe Chris Richards sticks around, but that seems to kind of hurt his U.S. men's national team stock a little bit because he's just not playing. They were blowing Hertha Berlin out, and he still didn't get into the game earlier today.
All right. Yeah. Any other big stories or scores that you want to discuss from today's action in the Bundesliga?
There's always so much to discuss and just not enough time to do it. But it's worth pointing out Pellegrino Matarazzo is also a U.S. Manager who coaches at at Stuttgart in the Bundesliga. They lost to Freiburg today 3-2 after getting waxed last week by Jesse Marsch and RB Leipzig 4-0. That game was 3-0. Stuttgart pulled two back before the break but couldn't actually break all the way through. So just keep an eye on Stuttgart. That's an American manager there, Pellegrino Matarazzo.
Hey, Tyler, so we spun the wheel for Peter last week.
Guess what team I got?
Guess what team he got?
Did you get Hertha Berlin?
No.
No.
He got the corporate sellouts.
I got the Red Bull. I'm a Jesse Marsch man.
Look, there are worse places to be, and I'm really hyped for what Jesse Marsch is doing there. And they have a big game tomorrow against Wolfsburg that's worth tuning into if you don't have any allegiances on the Premier League side. Or even if you do, that's going to be an exciting game. And it's a big game between two teams that have interesting things going on, to say the least. I think I really like what Leipzig have done early on in the season. And they have a guy, Andre Silva, who scored 28 goals last season for Eintracht Frankfurt. And Leipzig got him for $28 million, like not a ton, honestly. Hmm. And he's a guy that got off the schneid, scored a goal last weekend, as well as Dominik Szoboszlai, Hungarian winger, scored two incredible goals. I think Leipzig are going to be a ton of fun to watch. So, Peter, I think you've got a nice ride on your hands.
All right. So I know they've got a couple of games tomorrow, which includes the Leipzig game, but I'm looking at the standings, and Bayern is not atop the table.
On goal,
they are not
on goal.
On goal differential, Leverkusen is, and I do feel like I'm looking at this, and I know just enough to be dangerous to look and go, "Wow, this is a weird mix of teams this early in the season."
Three games in.
Well, you know, let Tyler speak, Andy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is really interesting. Bayer Leverkusen have come out on absolute fire, right? They had a 1-1 draw their opening weekend, but they beat Borussia Mönchengladbach 4-0 last weekend and Augsburg 4-1 earlier today. And so Leverkusen looks extremely dangerous there at the top of the table. I don't think any of these teams, either Leverkusen or Freiburg, who are both tied with Bayern at the top of the table right now, hold on over the long term. I don't know that anybody holds on with Bayern this season, but Leverkusen are going to be a fun team to watch under their new manager. Freiburg have the longest standing manager in the Bundesliga. Streich is his last name, and they also look really good. And so this is what makes the Bundesliga fun, is you get a lot of high-scoring games, you get a lot of fun performances. Also, 7 of the top 8 teams from last year in the Bundesliga switched managers. And so there's a lot of upheaval there at the top. Right? I heard Daniel Robertson talking during a Serie A preview about how many new managers there are in Serie A this year, and the Bundesliga is the same way. 7 of the top 8 teams.
You said hold my beer.
All changed management. Yes. I mean, how wild is that? But I mean, all of the top teams from last season, Bayern, Leipzig, Dortmund, all of these teams all have new guys. And so there's a lot of kind of settling in that's happening across the Bundesliga. So you're getting some wild results, and it's making it a lot of fun.
All right, Tyler, I heard a rumor that you too will be in Austin tomorrow night for the Dallas-Austin tilt at Q2 Stadium. Is this true?
It is true. I'm traveling down with our boys Mark Folliwell and Steve Davis. We're doing the radio call for FC Dallas from Q2 Stadium tomorrow.
So you have your own road trip.
We are doing our road trip.
How did we not all end up in the same car together?
Absolutely.
I don't know. This
I think
is this
the
was
last
poor
thing
coordination.
In the world they want, Peter, is to ride down there with us.
Okay, well, you mean me, but that's polite of you not just to point me out. Yeah, I get it.
Let's at least coordinate our Bucky's stop, if that is in fact going to be the preferred kick-around
instead
stop.
Instead of Bucky's. We're more of the Czech stop.
Hipsters.
Yeah, exactly.
We're hipsters, Tyler. Normally, I know that's how you my role, identify me as.
We
as
roll
a
like a, we're foodies on the road. You know, we're not doing the Buc-ee's thing. We're actually stopping for good food.
Andy, you aren't a foodie on the road. You're a foodie all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
24/7.
Just I'm
Tyler. It will not come as a surprise to you that it was. Let's see, we're going on the trip tomorrow, which is Sunday. It was Tuesday that I got the rare text from Andy that already was planning what we were having for dinner on Sunday. True
what's
stories.
What's the dinner move?
Oh, no, we have options. Plus, but then reading up that the stadium has good concession options as well, so we're going to have to try those. Some barbecue, some taco stands within...
If I know Andy, he won't pass up a good opportunity for some steak frites.
I just hope he brings his own toilet paper. That's all I'm worried about. So I don't want to have to worry about that
so
on the
trip. So we don't
stop home.
For...
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Tyler Kern, the amazing Tyler Kern, thanks for all your great Bundesliga insight. Can we talk to you again next week, sir? Or two
Boys,
weeks,
let's
we're
do
off
it.
Next week, yeah, so.
Oh, SMU football?
Well, no, it's international break, and it's Labor Day weekend, so, you know.
I get it. Yeah, let's do it in 2 weeks.
All right, man. Hopefully we'll see you in Austin tomorrow night. The amazing Tyler Kern, go follow him on Twitter. And thanks, Tyler. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys. Talk to you again soon.
All right, we did preview it just a bit. Andy and Peter go on a soccer/road trip, and we'll talk about that next here on the Kick Around. We're building our Kick Around starting 11, and congratulations to Dan and Sean, respectively number 6 and 7. We're giving away 11 new Kick Around t-shirts, each numbered 1 through 11, which makes them rare and exclusive.
Are these winners going to have to play on a team and kind of like...
Yes, they don't know this yet, but they will be submitted to a tournament.
Oh, we're in trouble.
And they all have to play the position that their number shirt...
Yeah.
Positions them for.
We are number enforcers here.
We are. That's the Buzz Carrick thing. This is all. Doing this in honor of Burnley and, of course, our very good friend, live now on the Buyer's Barricade ticket hotline, the good Buzz Carrick from ThirdDegree.net. Hey, Buzzard.
Hey, fellas. You can put a number 6 on the back of my Kick Around t-shirt.
By the way, we are now. If you want to call 888-787-1310, we will give away shirts number 8 and 9.
Ooh.
Okay, so 888-787-1310 for Kick Around t-shirts number 8 and 9. Hey, Buzz, how you, man? Are you? We are so looking forward to hanging out with you in Austin tomorrow night as Andy and I are going on a soccer road trip at Q2 Stadium, the new stadium for Austin FC. Dallas is playing Austin tomorrow night for the second time. They played them earlier this year here in Frisco. But we get to go witness this stadium that everybody keeps bragging about that I'm not so sure is as badass as everybody says it is.
Oh,
but we'll
man,
decide
so
tomorrow.
Negative.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Keep an open mind, Peter, going in. Don't be prejudiced before you even see it.
Well, I see it from all these photos, and I'm not sure it just doesn't look like four metal stands with like a Costco ceiling over the top of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Very possible that that's what it is.
Now, I'm sure it's a lovely facility, and I'm excited to go. A good P1, I should be fair. Now, he's asked to remain anonymous. A good P1 has granted us access to his season tickets. So we actually have really good seats and stuff. And, Buzz, you and your wife are going tomorrow night too, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. So, Buzz, the thing that I really want to get into with you today is the other, you know, there's been so much breaking big news that happened in soccer. But here locally, and how it relates to the U.S. men's national team, is they are literally just more than a week away from starting World Cup 22 qualifiers, is the news that Ricardo Pepi has chosen to play for the United States over Mexico, which I think, I don't know, I'm interested in hearing your perception. Do you think that's a surprise or an upset?
No, I don't, because he's played for both countries as a youth. He did choose already to play for the U.S. in a championship in the 2017 U-17 championship, I think it was. You know, so he's already represented the United States at basically the highest level that he was able to at that point. So it's not an upset that he's chosen the U.S. again, but it's still, he was a guy that was in super high competition. You know, very aggressively recruited by both countries. So it was by no means a foregone conclusion. I mean, Mexico's definitely after him too. You know, so it's pleasing if you're a U.S. fan that he has chosen the United States, and but I don't think it's an upset, no.
So that we had issues with the way the U.S. national team program, the Federation, went and courted past players that could have gone either way. It seems that with Pepe, they actually did it right. And Pepe credits Berhalter reaching out to him repeatedly and embracing him as a future player on the team for his decision to finally come to the U.S. Or to go with the U.S. national team, right?
Yeah, it definitely seems like a case where almost all of these young players, when they've chosen one direction or the other, you immediately see them say something about having been made to feel like they belong, that they were wanted, that the coach wanted them, that the teammates wanted them. And that goes a long way. Like feeling like you're included in the group, that you're part of the plans, that there is a plan for you, goes a long way to closing the deal for these kids that have a dual pull like Pepe does. I mean, you know, he's been talked about in this regard for years now, way back even in that New York Times article many years ago when he first joined the Dallas Academy. There's a whole group of these kids that grow up in the southern part of the United States that have this pull, you know, and in the end, it almost always comes down to where do I feel like I belong? Who's made me feel like I belong in their team and I'm part of their team?
Now, Buzz, I think the reason why I'm most interested in having you talk about this is because, you know, the P1s that listen to the Kick Around, not all of them are fans of FC Dallas or go to FC Dallas games or even care about Major League Soccer. But for those, but the one thing that does unify everybody is that most all of our P1s are into the U.S. men's national team. So what I'm interested in you providing some, you know, of your expertise is just how legitimate is Ricardo Pepe at the age of 18 as an option, as a striker for the national team? Is he the real deal?
He is the real deal. Now, is he the real deal? Like if I had to qualify to get into the World Cup tomorrow, would he be my choice? Probably not. There's a phase that you're going to go through with a player that is this young and talented and is developing where you bring them into the picture before you need them because you want to have them be involved in the team. Like the first camp's going to be a rough experience because it is a step up in play and speed. The first time you're in a qualifier, the atmosphere is crazy. The first time you go on the road in a qualifier, the atmosphere is going to be just nuts. You want to expose these kids at a young age. And even for the benefit of their club team, part of his progression as a professional in general will be this kind of environment, out of his comfort zone, what he's not used to. So if tomorrow does Berhalter need to win a game, is Pepe the choice? Of course not. But by the World Cup a year and a half from now, maybe from the qualifiers the year after that, is he the first choice? Entirely possible. He's absolutely got all the talent that he needs to be the frontline guy for this country for 10 years or more. Now, will it happen? You never know. Well, but all the signs are there that he's got all the ability.
Yeah, and I mean, he's young, and this is why we're kind of like taking pause a little bit. But really, if you look at the depth chart, the position we're talking about, the nine, who is in front of him now? It's Sargent, right?
Mm-hmm. Sargent, yeah.
And who's the other nine that got DK? Called
DK. I don't know. Did DK get called up in
no,
this
DK
roster?
Didn't.
Okay. I don't know why. But.
No, I don't think DK's in on this one. I don't have it right in front of me. I apologize.
So but when you look at it from that perspective, I don't know if he's that far away. I mean, if he can produce a little bit when he comes on, when he sees minutes.
Yeah, the way that the story arc happened this week, which was his participation in the MLS All-Star game and the skills thing, how he was integral in them not performing well in the skills thing against Liga MX players and then going into the game and hitting the game-winning penalty kick.
And he took the ball, by the way.
Right, yeah. Against Liga MX to then have it announced the next day that he was staying away from Mexico and joining the United States was a really cool way to wrap up the storyline on Ricardo Pepe. Now, Buzz, there is a loophole. Right? So everybody should be aware that even if he was to play in all three of these qualifiers coming up, he does retain the option, the one-time change, to change his mind and go play for Mexico.
Yeah, he could change his mind. I don't necessarily think that's very likely. You know, this is a kid that has all along, it seems to me, leaned towards the United States because, as he says, he flat out said, I was born here, I was raised here, I chose with my heart, this is who I want to represent. That's literally what he said. So, you know, I don't think there's a large chance that he won't be sticking with the United States unless he gets completely frozen out, which we don't expect to happen. This kid's got a special mentality. He's not to pick a fictional character, but like Nuke LaRoche from Bull Durham, he doesn't have a lot of self-doubt. He doesn't have – he's one of these guys that's blessed with absolute faith in his ability and mental toughness. Like everything he's ever come up against, he's smashed through it, whether it be his first pro signing when he has a hat trick in his first game for North Texas, whether it is when he comes up to FC Dallas and he joins in right away and there's a guy getting paid millions of dollars in front of him and he beats that guy out to now go to the All-Star game and take the PK to win the game. Everything the guy's come up against, he's had the mental fortitude for it, and I think that's going to include the national team. And you're right, the number nine position is wide open with the United States. There are guys that are good at that position, but no one has a lock on it by any means. There's a big gap from where Altidore was age-wise down to the options that are available now. So within a year or in a year and a half, he might be the guy, and maybe even this week he might be the guy if he gets an opportunity.
Are you, Peter, are you impressed with how well-spoken? Because you're around Buzz, you're around Pepe all the time, but you know we, Peter and I, don't get to see him like that
on a daily basis.
But when I hear him talk for an 18-year-old, and he's well coached. But one thing is to be well coached, and the other is to execute.
Yeah,
right?
I'm convinced that all the noise in the lead up to the announcement of one media outlet saying that he was going to announce Mexico, and another one saying he was announcing the U.S. I'm convinced that somebody within his party, his family, smartly leaking different stories just to create the noise. And he, when he's on camera, is really solid for an 18-year-old.
Yeah,
there's a lot to like there, and we as United States men's national team fans should be very excited that Ricardo Pepi has, at least for now, pledged his allegiance to the United States. Buzz, we're looking forward to hanging out with you tomorrow night and having dinner before the Austin-Dallas game at Q2 Stadium.
Yeah, well, me too. And I'm sure, guys, that you can go ahead and admit that really it's my lovely wife that you're looking forward to hanging out with more than me. I know.
Yeah. It's true. That's right. Awesome. Amy is awesome. A for awesome. Very good. Buzz Carrick from ThirdDegree.net. If you love his content, make sure you're a Patreon of his. And thanks, Buzz. We'll talk to you next week, man.
No, we'll talk to him tomorrow. See
you
tomorrow, Buzz.
We'll see you tomorrow, Buzz.
Yeah, tomorrow.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Daniel and talk a little Serie A and let him tell a Cristiano Ronaldo story next here on The Kicker. Well, look at us here. We have made it to the final segment of today's Kick Around. Congratulations to Andreas and Tim, who will be suiting up as our number 8 and number 9 critical players. And our
Who's
Kick Around
our 10,
P1, 1 through 11. We're giving away 11 Kick Around t-shirts numbered 1 through 11 because that's the proper way you number teams in soccer. And we have number 10 and 11 left to give away. Be first at 888-787-1310, 888-787-1310, and you will fill out our P1 top 11.
Who will be handed that number 10?
Who's going to get the 10? By the way, the t-shirts, I've been told, are available in sizes up to 4XL. So I'm hoping somebody wearing a 4XL ends up being our 10. That would be awesome.
That's something. one heck of an amid.
All right, one last segment to go. And to do this, we're going to talk some Serie A with our good friend Daniel Robertson. How are you doing, Daniel?
Gentlemen, I am doing okay, not great.
Oh, no. What's wrong, Daniel?
Well, did you see the final score, Juventus 0, Empoli 1 this afternoon?
I did see that result. Yes, sir. Yes.
So I gather you're then more Juventus than you are Ronaldo fans. So Ronaldo leaving means nothing to you. You're still Juve.
I am Fino alla fine, Juve to the core.
All right.
You bleed white and black is what you're saying to me.
Yes, yes.
Or that crazy yellow and blue white thing they wore last week.
I'm not going to be buying that.
Okay, you will not be buying that. All right, now, Daniel, I know we typically want to go through, like, Serie A scores, but I think, like, considering the news of Ronaldo just out of the blue announcing and telling Allegri he didn't want to play for the team anymore, and then they end up selling him to Manchester United, and since you worked for Juventus in their marketing department when Ronaldo joined the club, I have a feeling you could tell a story or two about Cristiano Ronaldo, and I just wanted to see if you'd share something with us.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I knew I was going to be leaving the club in mid-August thinking, oh, it'll be, you know, a nice chill summer, go on the American preseason tour. We played in the MLS All-Star game, and it'd be super easy. And then you get the bomb dropped on you that this is happening. And so, yeah, it's funny. At Juventus, you don't actually know the days that you're going to get off work a lot of times until about a day or two ahead of time. So I had cleared a certain day in the middle of the week to take off work, and the Ronaldo rumors were flying, but you know, it didn't seem terribly, it didn't seem like it was just right about to happen. So kind of my boss says, yeah, Daniel, take the day off. Me and my wife, we take a delightful 30-minute train ride out to Asti, about 30 minutes west of Turin. Beautiful day out.
Is that where Asti Espumante is from?
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, beautiful afternoon, nice bottle of wine, et cetera. We're coming home, and I'm on the train, and my closest confidant at Juventus, who also kind of ran digital, he sends me an image, and it's the Cristiano Ronaldo image with, you know, the kind of famous one with the stretched letters. He says, Daniel, when I tell you to, I need you to send this with this exact text. And I was like, okay, here we go.
Is this the biggest moment in your social media professional career?
It doesn't really get much bigger than that, you know? I mean, it's one of those things where if you stare at a word long enough, it's going to be spelled wrong, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Like, you can stare at the text. All it was like, at Cristiano. And you're looking at over and over and over. You're typing it in. You're like, this is going to be wrong. This is going to be wrong. And, you hit send. It goes out, and it has a billion likes in about 2 minutes. And you're kind of like, wow, well, that was pretty cool. I wonder how many people realize that a kid from Dallas sitting on his couch at his apartment in Turin sent the most, at the time, most liked Instagram in sports.
That's crazy.
Definitely a crazy one. Yeah.
So, did you ever get to spend any time around him to get any sense as to what kind of human being he is that maybe we don't pick up from watching him actually play the game or do commercials and stuff?
Yes. So I was actually the person that was tabbed with following him around the day he arrived, even. So, you know, recording all the content on your phone to post to the Instagram stories, and when he's doing his medical and things like that. And so we're sitting in this kind of lobby of J Medical, which is near the stadium, and it's kind of a little, you know, hospital area. And sure enough, around the corner, you're just kind of sitting in a chair, and there's Cristiano Ronaldo, and you're like, well, there he is. And, you know, you're recording it, and then it's really funny because as a social media manager, all you're trying to do when you're recording these things is not get in front of a camera. Like, you're trying to just not be seen. You want to be a fly on the wall. And sure enough, there's a video that one of my lovely coworkers recorded from Sky Sports Italy where I'm, like, running behind a fake tree, like, in the lobby of this hospital, sends it to every single friend on our group chat, and it's me, like, ducking around a tree on Sky Sports, and that became a meme for years to come that still exists. But no, Cristiano, he is very, very professional. He seemed really cool to me in the sense of, look, he's the most followed player in the world on Instagram. If you, in a marketing site, don't have all of your ducks in a row, his time is expensive and his time is money. And so if you don't have everything ready and he's kind of sitting around, he has every right to be angry. But he was totally professional, you know, with everything he did and did everything we asked of him. And I mean, it's tough to argue outside of Champions League the results he had on the pitch. So,
What about with you, though? Like, you know, new guy from the U.S., young kid, right? Doing social media, how did you have personal interaction where you could tell how he treated you specifically?
Well, I was more kind of behind the camera, right? So there was someone else doing the interview, but he was, you know, I was in the room, and he was, yeah, super nice to everyone, you know, yeah. Shook everyone's hand, greeted everyone, said, you know, nice to be here, et cetera, came in, did his thing. And I mean, he's a machine, right? He knows it's not his first rodeo. He knows what to do. We had maybe an hour with him total. And yeah, he was great. He was super nice to everyone. I certainly, in my interactions, wouldn't say anything bad about him. Obviously, I can't blame him for wanting to go. Clearly, Juventus is not going to win the Champions League this year, and he's going somewhere he thinks he can. So I can't blame him for that.
All right, because I always heard the crazy story. I think it was Patrice Evra that used to tell the story that they got invited to go have lunch at Ronaldo's house one day, and they were all excited. And they go to Ronaldo's house, and for lunch, It was a plain chicken breast and
water.
Ice water or something.
Yeah, his diet, his nutritional diet.
Okay, so all that's true. Does that sound like that could actually happen? And two, what does he look like? Are you surprised how big or small or whatever he is in person when you actually meet him in person?
Well, 100% that story has to be true, because if you look at his son is already like this chiseled kid who played on the Juventus youth teams and probably, has about 500 calories a day as well. so I am sure that story is true. But he's just insanely focused, like just super, super focused. And that's pretty much all you can say is that he's a huge professional athlete. Like when you see Paulo Dybala, he's kind of this just normal looking guy. When you see Cristiano, you're saying, that guy is one of the best athletes in the world.
That's why he's 36 going on 33.
Younger than his age.
Three more years.
So Daniel, I'm interested in your. I don't know what if you have a Premier League club that you have tied yourself to. I don't think it's United, but I'm interested in thinking. Do you think United did the right thing by signing him and bringing him back?
Well, you got to give Cristiano's agent A+ marks for the way that he has worked this Mendes, because it's like. He went to Real Madrid. Real Madrid said, sorry, we don't have the money. He went to PSG, and PSG said, we got to figure out the Mbappe situation. And I think Ronaldo wanted to go back to Man United. I don't think City was ever really where he wanted to go. There was never personal terms agreed. There was never a transfer fee agreed for Man City. But Mendes caused Manchester United to panic and offer $30 million to keep him from going to City. And look, he's going to score goals. Is he going to... But you look at United, they're playing such a fluid style right now. Their offense is so fluid going forward. Do you want a guy who's maybe not going to be combining with everyone else? I mean, he does his own thing.
I know.
His own thing is very good. Like, his own thing is the best in the world, but...
It comes at the detriment of others.
Yes, and so the question is, was that trying to fix something that wasn't broke? I mean, I don't know. But he will have moments that win you a Champions League, right?
Yes.
And so that's the thing. I've told my friends, I think Cristiano makes United better in the Champions League. I'm not sure he makes them better in the Premier League.
Right. All right. Hey, I have to issue a correction because Andy is dying. If I don't, he'll be very mad at me. Ed Woodward is still at Manchester United. I thought he had left at the end of the season, but apparently he's leaving at the end of the year, and he was involved in the deal to get Ronaldo to come to United.
He was the one that fell asleep.
I have a feeling that Sir Alex and Bruno Fernandes and other people that used to play with him probably played more of a deal in it. But Woodward had to say yes and sign off on the deal. Hey, Daniel, going back to Serie A, I do want to point out that today, Vlahovic, our star striker of La Viola, Fiorentina beat Torino today 2-1, and that's an outstanding win
Forza
for Andy
Viola!
And I's, for our favorite.
Forza Viola, and a first-half hat trick from Ciro Immobile as well. Lazio top of the table right now. Maurizio Sarri's Lazio.
Oh, Lazio. That's not Fiorentina, Daniel.
We're talking about Fiorentina.
We were talking about Fiorentina.
All right. Well, 3 points for Fiorentina. That's
come on, man.
Now,
they need to do is stay 15.
All right. Now, is the surprise result of the day Sam producer Hale's Bologna tying Atalanta at donuts today?
How about that? A big point for Bologna. 4 points from 2 games to start the season. Break up Bologna. They're in a Champions League spot right now.
Both my teams are in Europe. I love it.
Hey, let's bring this back to food, Daniel, specifically Florence, because this is our team. Best street food in Florence, the porchetta sandwich. Is this right for when I visit?
Absolutely. This is a guy who knows his stuff.
Well, I would argue it is the small gelato shop just by the Duomo that had the most creamy... Wait, that's going to sound really weird. The best gelato I've ever had in my entire life. I would take a bath in it. One more question, Daniel. Roma plays tomorrow.
Salernitana.
So, thank you. Is Brian Reynolds ever going to see the field for Roma under Jose Mourinho?
He should see the field, absolutely, and they're playing in Europe as well. I think that Europa Conference League they're playing in, and that'll be a great opportunity for him to get some minutes. Coppa Italia will be around kind of towards the holidays. He'll get some minutes there. I wouldn't expect him to get many minutes early, but, hey, let's see what happens.
Daniel Robertson, thank you so much. I appreciate your willingness to share your Cristiano Ronaldo stories and helping us better understand calcio.
Yes, guys, thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Daniel.
See you later.
All right. By the way, Samuel, who are number 10 and 11 in the kick around T-shirt starting 11?
Now you got to have me reopen it because I just sent it to you for clearance here.
Because 10 is a very, very
this
important.
Is the most important.
This is like I know it is.
This is going to be the man or
that's
woman.
That's what I'm saying. We got Jorge at the 10 and Richard at the 11.
Excellent. Jorge and Richard at the 10 and the 11. Well, I'm sure Jorge's fantastic.
I'm happy with Jorge as a 10.
What are you saying, Andy?
I'm just saying that, you know, I think it appears that the 10 worked out for us.
You think?
Yeah.
Sir, what are you doing? Come on.
I like the 10 position.
I don't appreciate this risky broadcasting behavior. Right.
Go get your own Kick Around t-shirt at our website, The Kick Around. Thanks to the E6 Sports guys for helping out with that. They also have the Ted Lasso stuff, which will include the new Ted Lasso with the banter sponsorship on it instead of the Dubai Air.
And was Ted 11? Was Ted 11?
No.
Who was number 11?
What was the last?
Richard was
Richard.
11.
Richard.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't get a Ted. I was hoping
we did not get a Ted. All right, Andy, I'm looking forward to picking you up tomorrow afternoon, getting in the rental car, heading down I-35 to Q2 Stadium for our inaugural soccer trip together.
Soccer road trip.
So you are my soccer wife now.
Mm, we'll see. We'll see if we stay together.
You know what? You know what we should do? While we're on our way down, we should do one of those Twitter spaces with the P1s in the car. No, you
he
don't want to do
that down so fast.
He did. He has no interest in doing that stuff.
He hates the P1, famously.
We will be posting pictures and telling stories from our trip at thekickaround.com. All right. Thank you to Jacob Dedamore for doing tickers. Sam, thanks for producing and keeping up with all the giveaways. Josh, thanks for just being you, Josh. It's so very Joshy. And thanks, P1s. We love and adore you. Go on out, get stuck in, and win your 50s.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound.